Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
FM News Talk 97.1
Podcast.
But let me assure you that this case will continue on against anyone who was complicit with Epstein. Any co-conspirators should not rest easy. The victims deserve justice, and they will get it.
I have to tell you, got a little bromance going on with Bill Barr. Did this guy is a bulldog. Can I just tell you that? I'm just saying.
I hope he's right, too.
I think this is going to be, this guy's going to be the next Dick Cheney.
Hmm.
And I use that as a compliment. The people on the left hate Dick Cheney, but I'm just telling you. Bill Barr is like a laser-guided missile, and he's coming in for a landing. The Clinton and Russian investigation is about to explode internally, so just mark my words.
All right.
Tuesday morning.
Happy Tuesday.
How's everybody doing? Nothing great. Like getting off on a running start
with your bromance.
Can I just tell you something? I told you I had rough duty yesterday. I had to go play golf.
Yeah,
and I believe that might have been the hottest day I can remember in my life. Yesterday afternoon on that golf course. I mean, it's rough. Trust me, I wasn't digging ditches. I there were people out there who worked a hell of a lot harder than I did yesterday. And God bless all of you.
But still.
But there were times out there where it was so hot, I got a little dizzy. I drank 6 or 7 bottles of water and just about didn't. It was awful. Mm. It was just awful. I mean,
that's why I stayed inside
it
yesterday.
Was miserable out there. I got to golf yesterday in the CBC alumni golf tournament, courtesy of the folks over at Bomarito, John Bomarito. It says last year he's sponsoring that. I guess his kid's graduating and he's been a sponsor for a long time. And what a crowd! Like 300 golfers.
Oh, cool.
Out of Whitmore, it was great. It was a great tournament, and I'm sure they raised a ton of money. But boy, was it hot.
The look on my girls' faces when they got off the bus yesterday from school was just like, they had great days at school, but they were so hot from being on the bus. I mean, they looked completely drained. Oh, they like ran into the house going, air conditioning.
They were probably tired, too. They have to wake up early.
Oh, they were exhausted. I mean, just like the heat and the getting up early and the getting back into the routine. It was just like a perfect storm of just everything. And they were like, oh, it's hot. I was like, you were only in the bus for probably like 20 minutes. But that's still a bus in 100 degrees and the humidity.
Hot.
And
sure.
But
it's hot.
Today will be better, everybody. You can go outside today.
Yeah, why couldn't the tournament have been today? Come on, John Bomarito. What were you thinking about?
Yeah, I think we've
check
got
the
a beautiful,
forecast, people.
I think we've got a beautiful week. Like yesterday was the only miserable day, right?
Yeah,
I bet the
heat index had to be 110 yesterday.
Probably.
It was just so hot. I got to golf, though. I got to ride around all day with Courtney Landrum from
Y98. Oh, fun.
That's awesome.
We had a great time.
She's the best.
And she's a good golfer,
I've heard that she's a good golfer, so... Yeah.
Well, I mean,
how'd she do?
She did great. I mean, as well as you could do, almost passing out as hot as it was out there. Not that she almost passed out, but it was really hot. I mean, it was so hot. How hot was it?
How hot was it?
So hot.
I was drinking coffee. I had you on it. Just give me a second.
It was so hot that there, you know, you're playing a scramble. There were times when if one person got a really good drive, everybody else would just get in the cart and drive
just
to that
go.
Ball.
Because we'll take it.
You're
good
like, enough.
Why exert the extra effort to try to get another ball out there when that one's going to do okay? Yeah. So it was that kind of a hot day. It was
hey,
good.
You know what? Hot like that, you sweat off a few pounds.
No kidding.
Feel good.
Did you
sleep good at night?
Did you? We're going to talk about this more coming up, and we got a good show for you today. Let me tell you what, Tricia, good job on this.
We got
Colonel Alan West.
Oh, great!
Coming up this morning at around 7:10, and you, those of you who know me, know that he's one of my favorites, right?
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
So he's going to come on and kind of explain for the people on the left who don't quite get it. Who aren't quite with the program, what Ken Cuccinelli rolled out to the nation yesterday about our immigration policy. Nothing has changed. I'm stunned at the overreaction to this. So we're going to talk more about that. We got Mark Lotter coming on with us this morning as well, and a great 2A Tuesday segment at about 8:10, where we're going to take a deeper dive into the whole issue of constitutional carry and open carry and all of that in connection to what happened down in Springfield. But if you paid any attention to the news cycle yesterday, you might have seen a story out of West St. Louis County about a police officer who's undergone surgery and his son being walked to school yesterday by 25 or 30 police officers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my daughter was there.
And it was something to see. We're going to talk more about that. I happen to have a personal connection to that story.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you more about that, and we'll have some information up on the website on it. So we'll get to all that coming up here. 314-241-9797.
The gift of joy. Can't buy that. Gift of happiness. This is awesome. Thank you guys so much. It's amazing to see the support.
His wife watched, fighting back tears.
That's going to be amazing. It's so touching to see everyone here and everyone that cares about Andy and wanted to be there for Carmine.
Dad, friends, and family accompanied Carmine to school.
So if you missed this story yesterday, that was Rocky Madden's version of it. Channel 4 did some great coverage, too, of this little boy, Carmine, whose dad is a Woodson Terrace police officer, and he's fighting cancer. And he also Carmine suffers from autism, and the family had been working really hard with him to get him ready for his first day of kindergarten so he could kind of, you know, be in a regular classroom and interact with the kids, and they've been working on it, and then whammo, out of nowhere, his dad gets diagnosed with cancer, and they had to go in for emergency surgery. And he's been in the hospital for a couple of weeks and had a couple of surgeries. And suddenly yesterday was the first day of school. And he was just distressed, the dad, Andy, that he couldn't be there. And we have a personal connection to this story because Andy's wife is my wife's first cousin, Mary. And we know, obviously, Andy very well. And I was thrilled to see the coverage they got in the media yesterday. Here's one more bite from Andy, because he was just overwhelmed with emotion. Number one, that he got to attend, because they surprised him with that. They came to the hospital. One of his brother-in-laws is also an emergency room physician. He came with him. They sent a nurse with him so he could be there to walk his little boy into the school there at Kerr's Mill on the first day of school. And it was just a quite an emotional day, as you can imagine.
This is one of my biggest days, and I just did not want to miss this. He means the world to me. We've been through a lot together.
If you've faced anything like that, where you're not quite sure what the outcome is going to be of a diagnosis, then you understand the emotion in his voice. And obviously we're praying for the family. He's a police officer in Woodson Terrace. You know what that means. He's a public servant, and he's going to be out of work for at least 3 months, maybe 4 months, as he recovers from this surgery. Nobody knows how long it's going to take. It was pretty major surgery. And there's a GoFundMe page that's been set up for the family, and I'm posting this up on the website, and if you can find it in your heart to show support, that this family could certainly use the extra help. So I'm going to have that up on our Facebook page, the Mark Cox Show on Facebook. just look for it. And if you're so inclined, you can go there and click on that link and show your support for it. And I mean, it just, it was a touching story.
Beautiful.
Your daughter was there, right?
Yeah, she was, you know, excited to start the school year. And then you see all of this going on as well. And we watched some of the coverage last night and some of the video. And it was just, it was really moving and special for them to see the community come together like that and support this family.
Yeah, that's up on my Facebook page right now. I've got a link to the GoFundMe page up there. So if anybody wants to go and help out, that would be fantastic. I know the family would appreciate it. It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough recovery, but we're wishing the best for Andy. And that was that's something. Wow, it was a good story. You should check it out if you didn't get to see it yesterday. I was very. Moved by the, particularly with the Channel 4's coverage. I'll give a little kudos to my former coworkers over there. They went to the hospital where he was when he was told that he was going to get to go be there to see his son go to school, because he thought for sure that he was stuck in the hospital for maybe the next foreseeable future. I don't know how long. He didn't think there was a chance he was going to get to go, and they came in and surprised him with that news. Then when he pulled up, there are 30 of his fellow police officers there waiting to escort all of them, however far it is. They live almost across the street, I think, and they walked over to the school. So it was just a great story. Check it out on the Facebook page. If you can help out, that would be fantastic. We would appreciate that. See the fallout yesterday? I continue to be amazed. So we go on the Facebook page yesterday, and I put up the story about Jeff Rorta. And I'm just never ceases to amaze me how nasty the left is in reaction to him. But lots of great reaction to the. To the interview we had with him and the post up there on Facebook as well. In case you missed it, we've got a link to that on the website, audio on demand from yesterday at 971talk.com/Cox, where Jeff explained why he put up a tweet congratulating Darren Wilson on, surviving the attack on him 5 years ago by Mike Brown. And that just set off the left. They wanted him fired as representative for the St. Louis Police Officers Association for daring to do this. And then you know what happened last night? Yet another police officer was killed in the line of duty when they tried to pull over, in this case, a ex-con who didn't want to be pulled over for a traffic violation and got out with a rifle and started shooting at police and actually killed one of them. And I believe in California, another officer was injured. It's just a reminder to me. When I heard that story, I got to thinking, it's just another reminder that every day, people like Andy, people like all the police officers out there who put on the uniform and go to work, run that risk. They never know what's going to happen with the next call. They do it for less money than a lot of us would want to put our lives at that kind of risk. I'm sorry, I had no problem with what Jeff Rorta put out there. And if you assault a police officer, whatever happens next is on you. You have then instigated and started that ball rolling. I'm sorry. You have to take responsibility for that. We'll talk about that. We're going to check in with my friend Jesse Jane Duff. And you can hear her take on what's going on up in the craziness up in Washington, D.C. We got our Real or Fake News quiz at 6:22. Dr. Randy Tobler at 6:37. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jesse Jane Duff joining us this morning from the London Center for Policy Research. How are you, my friend?
Good morning. How are you, motivator?
We're doing just fine this morning. We're just listening to the presidential wannabes for the Democrats calling the president of the United States a terroristic white supremacist. I think that covers
you know,
it.
I sat here and thought, you know, if the shoe were on the other foot during Barack Obama's era, with all of the things that many people were saying on social media, had any candidate for public office made those kind of allegations against Barack Obama, you know, looking at some of his history with William Ayers, looking at his history with the pastor that had said GD America, all of those very profound things that labeled him in an extreme way, and even growing up in different cultures that may have made him sympathetic to some of the things that we've been trying to fight against in the Middle East. I mean, if any a candidate had used that platform, they would have never been considered or taken seriously. And yet the Democrats seem to thrive on this racism. They're going on and on, white extremism. I mean, this man has nothing but record low African-American unemployment, has done prison reform, has had multiple events at the White House for African-American pastors, African-American leaders of the historically black colleges. In fact, he's the first president to put that in the White House, the office that is the liaison for that. He has communicated with African-American leaders on multiple occasions, and Turning Point USA assisted, I believe, or was part of. He had young African-Americans that were in the White House just not even a month and a half ago. No matter what he says, what he does, this is what they want to run on. He has Jewish grandchildren, moved the embassy to Jerusalem, and it gets to be old. So here's what it boils down to. He was never a white supremacist or a neo-Nazi or whatever other name they have till he beat Hillary Clinton. And I want every Democrat to think about that. You have no evidence of such. And if you're going to parse words, why is your bar so dang high for President Trump and so low for all of these Democrats when you've got Joe Biden still standing there like he was in the White House when the Parkland shooting happened? And he didn't say it once, he said it twice. If your bar is going to be so high, then you better raise it for your Democrat candidates, because not only are they spreading lies and misinformation, I don't care what network you watch, you can clearly hear for yourself and read the transcripts by President Trump, and he has never said there are nice people on both sides. He had indicated immediately in that same speech multiple times that white nationalism, neo-Nazis, and all of these white extremists, or whatever labels you want to give them, are wrong, they're bad, there's no place for them here in the United States. It's just getting disgusting that he has to keep saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, you know, to Joe Biden's defense, when you've been anywhere for 45 years, it all starts to run together.
Oh, of course. And I don't fault him for that on that level. And that's why he seems to think that he's been a success, because he probably remembers one that happened 30 or 40 years ago, and he's still probably coasting on that. The man is, I'm amazed that he's still as high as he is in the poll numbers. Like, I'm just like, come on, you're obviously, it's like, what is this, running for prom king and queen? We're going to go off of popularity now? Ooh, the most popular girl and boy. That is sad. That's a sad statement when even the Democrats know that he's not articulating in a coherent way. He's bumbling. He's stumbling. But you know what? I want Joe to be the candidate. I want him to be the nominee. The best thing we have going for ourselves is these Looney Tunes that think they're going to beat President Trump.
Right.
It's just comical. It is just a different cast of characters up there, and it's literally like watching cartoons on Saturday, because when they reshape the narrative, they literally will change history in their language, in what has happened, and articulate on a level. Beto O'Rourke, you're at less than 1%. You couldn't even win a Senate seat, and you run to Mexico to work with Mexico on immigration, but don't even work with Americans or veterans or show how you're going to help the United States. I'm just astounded that this is what they call a race for the presidency.
Yeah.
They want to sit there and criticize President Trump. What are you all throwing back at us? Garbage. Nothing but garbage.
I'm trying to throw a little love to a St. Louis company here. I told people they should invest in Tums, because the Democrats are going to need a ton of it after 2020 if this is the best they have to offer.
Well, my hope is that, you know, a lot of Republicans are nervous and scared because they hear all this negative rhetoric. Well, what they have to remember is the average American is tired of it. They're
right.
Sick of it. And, you know, when you're talking about calling everybody a neo-Nazi, a white supremacist, and many African Americans have benefited off of this administration, they get it. They know. Now, you've got the people that go along to get along. Those are people on both sides that are drones. But the actual people that are the one who meet the money where the money meets where the road is, or however that saying is. They know what the, they know the situation. They're scared of President Trump because he's actually been a success. And power is never given up willingly. There's going to be a vicious fight. There's going to be savage remarks. There's going to be things said that are highly, highly inappropriate. I mean, when you listen to Bernie Sanders in Iowa, they all sounded like a bunch of idiots because they're like, this guy's this, and he's an idiot. Wow, that just sounded stupid. Yeah, he's a billionaire, and he's a success. But when you have to do name-calling and you're a presidential candidate, now, granted, President Trump will do it too, but it's always after he's been insulted first. It's always after he's already had the mud thrown at him because he's very good at pitching back. And throw him a fastball, he'll strike. I mean, he will hit it, and he will put, take it out of the park. He's a home runner every single time, and he sets them up for failure every single time. We are talking about Baltimore, and then they all, oh, this is terrible, and they go interview all these African-Americans that are in Baltimore, in those communities, and they said, no, Trump's right. And they had to shut that narrative down really fast.
Yep, they did, and he was right. He said, look at me for my next trick. I got all the Democrats talking about the rats in Baltimore. It was beautifully, exactly. Beautifully played. Jesse Jane,
oh, yes.
I'm out of time. Thank you so much this morning, and I'll direct people to your Twitter feed at Jesse Jane Duff, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, motivator, take the hill.
All right, thank you. We'll be back in just a minute.
The AG wouldn't go into detail, but our reporting shows the following. At the time of his death, Jeffrey Epstein was not on suicide watch. After a series of psychiatric assessments and pressure from Epstein's attorneys, the suicide watch was lifted. Still, experts say it's unusual for such a high-profile inmate to be ignored. And we should note there are no surveillance cameras in or outside of Epstein's cell. Numerous reports say Epstein hanged himself, and our corporate cousin, the New York Post, says he did it with a bed sheet tied to a bunk bed. And even though the autopsy is complete, results are pending because the medical examiner needs more information.
Wow. What a cluster up there in New York. Federal Bureau of Prisons. So one guy was a fill-in guard who didn't even regularly work on that cell block. There's no evidence that they checked on him at all for like a 2-hour period, even though he was a known suicide risk. What?
This story.
Wow.
It's hard to not go into conspiracy mode.
Well, they're understaffed. They've got maybe a lack of people available. Maybe you hate to think that the workforce was intentionally slow rolling things to try to prove a point, but in this case it ended up with this guy hanging himself again. Like we said yesterday, Jeffrey Epstein currently was probably the most high profile person being held in a federal prison who wasn't convicted of anything yet. You would have thought that his well-being would have been at the top of their list. Like the superintendent of that prison should have been acutely aware of the fact that we're in a microscope here. We need to make sure this guy is handled with, excuse the phrase, kid gloves until we can get him to trial. Don't shake your head at me. It's just a phrase.
It is. I might not have even picked up on it.
No? Okay.
It's fine. There's just so many things that went wrong, with this whole thing. I get like the understaffing and all of that, and that's a real thing. But there's got to be a handful of people that you got to put your
people
not
on.
Your real corrections officers on, mm-hmm. and at least follow through with either having another person in the cell or having the 30-minute watches be like
that
everything
part's bizarre
perfectly
too.
Went wrong for him to have a window to be able to commit suicide, you know?
Yes.
Did they say why there wasn't another person in the cell with him?
He had been
one, and then they were removed, and there should have been somebody in.
Yeah, wasn't it policy to make sure there was somebody else in there?
Yes. And if you're not going to have that person, then you should probably at least make sure you're doing the patrols when you're supposed to be doing them.
Mm-hmm.
But to have both of those things not happen.
Well, and you pointed out off air earlier that like nobody cares that this guy's dead. This guy was scum, but there were a lot of people that could have been implicated because
right.
of what this
There's
guy had
There's some people
to
that
say,
would have liked for him to have been alive at least a little bit longer to be able to get some more information
sure.
out so that these other scum that are also out there as well could go down.
Mm-hmm. The New York Post is reporting this morning in the probably biggest non-shocking story of the day, that Jeffrey Epstein, his gal pal, as they've called her, Ghislaine Maxwell, I don't know how you pronounce her name, might be targeted by the feds now. Are you kidding me? Of course she's being targeted by the feds.
Yeah, and they're tearing apart his house in the Virgin Islands or whatever, too, as the, well they should be.
She was the one who was alleged to have recruited some of these girls.
Oh, my gosh.
And Bill Barr says any co-conspirator should not rest easy. Just be glad that your last name isn't Epstein and your first name isn't Jeffrey. Because some dude on social media named Jeffrey Epstein, who apparently works for Disney, he's a publicist for Disney, is getting threats and awful comments on his social media pages by people who think he's the guy that just committed suicide. What, first of all,
what's wrong
what
with
good
you
would it do
that?
To post on somebody's site if they're already dead?
Yeah.
Because they're not going to see it.
I'll show him.
On Twitter, they send him messages like, rot in hell, you pervert.
Oh, boy,
go to hell, you child rapist. And, calling him a monster and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, this poor guy. No, pretty sure I didn't, he replied. Wrong Jeffrey Epstein.
I mean, I think that's a fairly, common, there's definitely more than one Jeffrey Epstein in the world. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, so.
And the thing about it is people went to his social media site, right? He works for Disney. And they noticed that he liked a lot of things connected to Disney. And there were people then went on his site drawing the conclusion that he must be a pedophile because of all of his likes of Disney, not realizing that the guy worked for Disney. It just gets weirder and weirder every day in this world, honestly, when you look at what's going on.
Some people need to make better use of their free time as well.
Put the phone down.
Yeah.
Spend some time with your family.
Find something else to do.
Mm-hmm. The phone
Take
down.
Take up knitting. I don't know. Something.
Yeah. No kidding. Coming up here in the next hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about this immigration ruling that the administration made yesterday. It's really just a tweak to the law. And there's been a lot of focus on it. But, of course, immigration has been very much in the news recently with the crisis on the border. Arrests were down last month, by the way, if you didn't see that. But what's wrong with saying that if you come into this country, if you're going to immigrate here, we need some proof that you're not just coming here to get a free ride? What's wrong with that? I noticed yesterday they were questioning Ken Cuccinelli on whether or not the plaque on the front of the Statue of Liberty doesn't mean anything anymore. Give us your poor. First of all, that was put on there well after the Statue of Liberty was put in place. And number two, when your great-grandparents or great-great-great-grandparents arrived at Ellis Island, they didn't have a social support network. They got off the boat and they went to work if they wanted to eat. That's how it worked. In the meantime, we have built social safety nets in this country that get abused. And that, if you're a taxpayer, that should concern you. There was no change to the law here, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about later. We've got Colonel Alan West coming on here at 7:10. Mark Lotter is going to join us about 7:37. 2A Tuesday today, I've invited Alex Salzman to join us with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. We're going to take a closer look at these red flag laws and whether or not this is a good idea, Missouri, because somebody's going to be pushing for it very soon. And she's going to probably outline a few of the reasons why we need to tap the brakes a little bit and take a closer look at how these things work before we jump on board. That's coming up about 8:10. All that and more coming up in the next hour, including Dr. Randy Tobler. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.